forget just someone say, pray for me. And you may or may not have time to discern, pray for me for what, but, you know, there's a sense of urgency about it, a sense of request, a sense of frustration. And what came out of the conversation was two things. First of all, the traffic was very, very heavy. And this happens sometimes when she's on the way to work. She can't go the normal way to work. She has to take a detour because of traffic and everything. And in the process of that, the car in front of her did an abrupt slam on brakes. And of course, when you see that, right, because you're going a certain speed, even though it's not very fast, and when my wife noticed it, she had to slam on brakes, and it was so hard that the automatic brake system in the car kicked in, and the car's going, you know, like this, because it's trying to stop. And according to what she told me, she stopped about 4 inches away from the back bumper of the car. Now, I think just describing that to many of us would cause kind of a feeling of frustration and anxiety just thinking about something like that. And so that was involved in it. And the other thing that was involved had to do with her work. They were having a special lunch, and she had was recruited to bring in some food, a soup. It was a soup lunch. And she had made some potato soup. And when she slammed on the brakes, Kelly's shaking her head back there. And this was in the big crock pot. Some of you have seen that big crock pot that we have. And the thing went ploop. Which changed the color of the carpet on that side of the car. And of course, you're going to work, and she was late, so she really didn't have a lot of time to clean it up. And so both the car and her came home smelling like potato soup. Well, if you know my wife to any degree, she likes things being clean. And so between the frustration of almost having an accident and the frustration of now her car is white instead of blue down on the carpet there, and all that would be involved in that, she said, pray for me. And she said, I've already prayed, but I need someone else to pray. And she had given me a phone call. And so I want to ask you this question. What do you pray for in situations like that? You can't pray that the potato soup wouldn't spill. It was already spilt. Maybe you would have enough faith to pray that all the tomato soup would come out of the carpet back into the crock pot and sit back up. I didn't have that kind of faith. What do you pray for in situations like that when someone says, pray for me? What would you do if your husband called you up and said, pray for me? Or a wife called a husband, or children have needs. What do you pray for your children when they're not asking for a specific prayer request? What do you pray for if you only have down a couple of prayer requests and you've been praying the same thing for a year? How do you pray for missionaries? Do you pray, Lord bless them? I didn't think that'd be a good prayer for my wife. Now, Lord, I just got this urgent prayer request. Now, Lord bless her. Right? What do you think? That's how many people pray for missionaries. They'll say, now, Lord bless the missionaries. You know, they could be in prison somewhere. You don't have any idea what's going on, but you want the Lord to bless them. How do you pray for me? I don't always give you prayer requests, right? How do you pray for our deacons or our church as a whole? Is there anything in our Bibles that would help us to know what to pray for when you don't know what to pray for? And I think the answer to that is in the affirmative. There is a apostolic prayer request that is probably the most repeated prayer request in your New Testament. And that is here, we'll look at it here in Romans. And we'll read Romans chapter 1 and verse 7. Paul writes, "To all who are beloved of God in Rome, called as saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." Now, that phrase, "grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ," is not just there like "Dear John," right? It's just not something that you start off a letter with, right? You say, "Well, I'm going to write a letter to somebody." Maybe you put the date up there, or you put it over here, and you know, you might add a return address if you're doing it the old-fashioned way, or you say, "Dear so-and-so." I mean, all that you pretty much write down without even thinking, right? Is Paul saying, "Grace and peace unto you," without even thinking? And I don't think so. In fact, I think that we think that unconsciously because we skip over these verses, right? We'll just say, "All right, grace be unto you and peace. Okay, let's get on to the good stuff in the epistle," right? I think sometimes we think it that way. But really, when Paul writes, "Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ," it is something that he is writing as a desire for them. Would you agree with that? He's writing that grace is a desire of his. And do you think that if Paul had a desire for them to have grace and peace come to them, do you think that he would pray for it? And I think the answer to that is what? I think the answer to that is yes. Now, I passed out a sheet here so that we could just real quickly go through all of these verses. We've looked at this before in the Pauline epistles. And on this sheet, you'll notice on the left-hand side, I have the fact that grace is supposed to be coming to you. And then on the right-hand side, I have at the end of the epistle that Paul is writing for the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ not to come to you at the end of the epistle, but to be what? To be with you. And so we looked at it here, Romans chapter, you're looking at your sheet here, Romans chapter 1 and verse 7, "Grace to you and peace from God our Father." 1 Corinthians 1, 3, "Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ." 2 Corinthians 1, 2, "Grace to you and peace from God our Father." Galatians chapter 1 and verse 3, "Grace to you and peace." They needed grace, didn't they? Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 2, "Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ." Philippians chapter 1 verse 2, "Grace unto you and peace from God our Father." Colossians chapter 1 verse 2, "To the saints and faithful brethren in Christ which are at Colossae, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father." 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 1, "Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ, grace be unto you and peace." 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 2. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 2, we have a little different thing here. "Unto Timothy, my own son in the faith," grace, not just grace and peace, but grace, mercy and peace from God our Father. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 2, same thing. Titus chapter 1 and verse 4, "To Titus, my own son, after the common faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Lord Jesus Christ." And then Philemon chapter 1, there's only one chapter there, but verse 3, "Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." those just, as I mentioned, those are just not the way you open the letter. This is Paul's desire for these people. And so I think it's fair for us to say that the most single request, we can narrow it down to the Pauline epistles, okay? But the most singular request in the New Testament that is desired and prayed for by one individual for either a church or an individual is for grace and peace to be multiplied unto them. Everybody see where I'm coming from here? So when I got this phone call, you know, pray for me, right? I didn't pray for the carpet. I didn't pray for the car. I did thank the Lord for the 4 inches. Okay. What did I pray for? Well, I could have prayed for a lot of things, right? But who knows the real need? The Lord knows the real need, right? All right, what is the overarching thing that I could pray for that would answer the real need? Well, I prayed for this. I prayed for grace. And I prayed for peace. Now, what do you think about that? In other words, if someone says to you, pray for me, could you pray that and really meet a need without even knowing the need? The answer to that is what? Absolutely. What can you pray for your children? Now, you probably could get a whole list, right? You probably, okay? But if you didn't want to go through the whole list, okay, and you wanted to pray the one thing for your children, if I pray for grace and peace, am I praying for a lot? I am praying for a lot, right? What does a person need if they're sick and in the hospital? Grace and peace. There's was a lady at my previous church where I was pastoring for many years. She's with the Lord now, and she was a very anxious, fretful person. And she would come to me about a situation, and she would just be telling me all these things that are bad about this situation and all the things that she was disturbed about the situation. And when she stopped and drew a breath long enough for me to say something, I would say, grace and peace be unto you. And it got so frequent that she started saying it before I would say it. In other words, she'd come to me and all this anxiety, she'd just be pouring out the cup of all this. And then when she took a breath, she'd say, I know, Pastor, I know. Grace and peace. In fact, she told me she was going to put that on her tombstone. Okay. But was that not her real need? That was her real need, wasn't it? And in fact, you can add something if you're praying for an individual, like Paul was praying for Titus and Timothy, and add what?
Mercy.
Mercy be unto them. So what is the thing when someone says, pray for me, you don't get a chance to get, you know, a lot of insight, and maybe you're not sure that the things you think that they need or the things that they're talking about or whatever, you can pray for grace and peace to be what? Multiplied unto them. In other words, they are, as a believer, you are receiving grace and peace. But what you need at those anxious, fretful, crisis moments is you need what? More of it. Right? And so that's what I prayed for her. And then I also knew that grace and peace is multiplied through the Scripture. So I asked for the Lord to bring to her mind the Scripture that would give her the venue for that grace and peace to be multiplied to her soul. So every Pauline epistle covers two great desires. Grace to you. And what's the other desire? Grace be with you. Right? And when we know from previous teaching that what's in between the grace to you and the grace with you is the epistle, the doctrine, the application, the commandments, the exhortations that are there, right? So Paul wants the grace to come to you through the Word of God. And having come to you through the Word of God, he wants that grace to stay with you. Amen? He wants that understanding to be with you. And that's what she needed, right? She needed the grace to be multiplied to her, right? And she needed the grace to stay with her, right? And so anytime you are in a situation where you do not know what to pray for, and there's a lot of situations like that, you can begin by praying for grace to come to that church or to that individual believer, and that grace to be with them. And the peace of God and the mercy of God, all of those things. Maybe it's a situation where the person is sinned. You ever sinned when you're in a crisis moment? You ever yelled at something inanimate and said, "Why did you do that?" Do you realize that the inanimate doesn't talk? And the inanimate can't communicate. So who are you talking to? You're talking to God when you do that. I've actually been in situations that I'm like, "Why did you allow that to happen?" And I realized, who was I fussing at? I was fussing at the Lord. What do I need at that moment? Mercy. I need mercy. Amen? I need mercy. And folks, all that I've talked to you about here, this grace and peace and this mercy to pray for in any situation and at all times for congregations and for individuals, for husbands and for pastors and for children and for deacons and for congregations, this is the most repeated desire and prayer request in our Bibles. Now, in closing, I just want to say this. That request is in agreement with the nature of who God is. Now, I want you to take your Bibles and I want you to go back to a passage that we worked on memorizing. And that is Exodus chapter 34. And you're familiar with this. Moses asked to see the glory of God. And God says, "You cannot see my face, but I will declare my glory to you." And in Exodus 34 and verse 6, "Then the Lord passed by in front of him," that is Moses, "and proclaimed, he said, 'The Lord God.'" Now look at the passage. "Compassionate and gracious." Everybody see that? "Compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in loving kindness and truth, who keeps loving kindness for thousands, who forgives iniquity, transgression, and sin," and of course he will by no means leave the guilty. So what do we have here? Do you see grace in those verses? Yes or no?
Yeah.
All right. Do you see peace or mercy in those verses? Do you see forgiveness in those verses? Grace, peace, mercy. So is Paul praying in agreement with who God is? The answer is absolutely. And folks, when we're praying that, we're praying in agreement with exactly who God is. We're praying, "Lord, grant that person grace because you're gracious. Grant that person mercy because you're merciful. Grant that person peace, because you are a forgiving God." Right? And then grant those things, not just to come to them and evaporate, but to come to them and be with them. Now, I did something this afternoon that I've never done before that really, really just thrilled my heart. I went over to Romans chapter 1 and verse 7 and put my little cursor on the word grace. And I went over to the Greek New Testament and I highlighted the little Greek term for grace. And I said, I want you to search in the Greek Old Testament for this word. And it brought up a bunch of passages. Do you know how our English translation, as translating it from the Hebrew, but do you know what the English translation word is that is parallel to the Septuagint? It's word for grace. You ready for this? Favor. When Moses said, show me your favor, he said, show me your charis, your grace, your favor. Isn't that what grace is? We say, give me a definition for grace. Unmerited favor. There you go. And what's our theme for this year? We're praying for God's favor. Okay. So we can pray for grace and mercy and peace in any situation, and you would be praying the exact thing that that person needs. Whatever that is. Now, you may know specifics. You may know that person well enough that you can say, Lord, would you give grace in this way? Right? But if you just say, give grace, does God know what they need? And if it comes to them, it will come to them by His favor. So let's go to our Lord in prayer.